As Above, So Below is an exhibition of new paintings by Dublin-based artist Damien Flood, showing at the Green on Red Gallery, which explores the artist's interest in the history and materiality of painting. And Quai Don, Encounters with Lafcadio Hearn is a touring exhibition of contemporary printmaking, featuring works of 20 Irish and 20 Japanese artists, which is on view at Farmley Gallery in Dublin's Phoenix Park. Jess Fahey joins me in studio to tell me about both exhibitions. Before we start talking, we'll just be discussing some pieces in specifically from the exhibitions. So we've posted the art on X at RTE Arena or on Instagram at RTE_Arena. So we're starting with Damien Flood, and he's got a solo exhibition in the Green on Red Gallery. And I think you've felt that it fitted the gallery so well.
I think it does, because the gallery space itself is kind of a bare industrial space, and every time you go to it, it's sort of different, but it feels like that kind of excavation, you know, so there's nothing else to distract. The building isn't there as a showy piece itself. And when you look at some of Damien Flood's works, he leaves a lot of bare canvas, a lot of bare surfaces with then these amazing sort of pops of colour and interesting moments. So
tell us a little bit about
the gallery. So he is an artist who's exhibited all around the world and has been working for many good few years now. And I think he was in NCAD and before that IADT out in Dunleary. And one of the things I was reading about him was how he had made a full scale replica of Caravaggio when he was in his student days. And I think that's a real clue to getting into understanding him, because when you're looking at his work, he uses so many different types of painting techniques. It gives you the sense that he's a lover of paint and of art and a kind of student of all the different ways that you can do that. And it's rare for a modern or contemporary artist to have that much of an interest in old masters. They tend to try and move away from that rather than still engage with it. And the way that he still paints to this day, I think, reflects elements of that.
Yes, so anybody who's been around the Prado or any of those galleries with lots of old masters will know that the human skull plays a huge role, usually in paintings about poor old Saint Jerome.
Yes.
So Redeemer is the first piece you want to talk about, and there are skulls in this.
So there's one skull painted in a hyper-realistic, sort of anatomically correct way, which is different to how the other parts of the painting, which are more abstracted and sort of vaguer in terms of what they are. So it's very striking, and again on a almost, you know, raw canvas background, so it stands out very dramatically. When I was looking at it, I started to think about imagining it on the ground, almost like you're excavating a burial site. There was something of that in it. But the skull generally refers to the vanitas, the idea of not worrying about anything in this life and, you know, spending all your time worrying about the next life and your soul and everyone's going to die. It's a dark topic. But even within this painting, the other elements start to grow around it. There's the sense of leaves and foliage and other strange and bizarre little kind of patterns and designs.
So they're not gloomy, though.
No, interestingly not. I mean, I think they might bring gloomy thoughts, but because of the way they're painted and his palette can be very vibrant and bright, it changes it as you're looking at it. And I suppose it's one of those things that life and death are together always. You know, we can't have one without the other, and those sort of ideas of the good and bad being incorporated all into one. But I think what I like about how well, in terms of sort of academic style of the skull, how well it's painted, it could be from something in the Prado. It's painted in the same style. Is it reminds me of some of the things that happens when I'm, you know, teaching, where I kind of feel like I'm almost the lawyer for modernism or for contemporary artists, saying, well, they could do it, they chose not to. And that's almost him showing that technical old master skill, mixing it with a contemporary sensibility.
Let's pick another one of his paintings. This one is Dressing Table.
Yes.
And we're tweeting this as well.
Yeah, so it just drew me in with the colours. There's something really quite magical about the colours, maybe a little nostalgic sort of 1980s feel. There's a kind of bubblegum pink and a kind of mixture then of this sort of striped foreground. The title being Dressing Table immediately makes you think it's referring to a specific object, but it's not that clearly descriptive and it's not that straightforward. And instead, I think it is almost like sort of half remembered space or almost dreamlike, which a lot of his works, I think, is a good way of thinking about them. Those little moments of a split second of this or that that comes into your brain and you're not quite sure exactly why you're remembering it or why you're seeing it. But there's a moment in it where there's a very, a set of stripes that are in fact a rainbow colours that draw you from across the room, and they're so bright and vibrant, and it adds that sort of lightness and fun to it, almost like prismic light as well, making you think about paint, think about colours and drawing you in.
Now, there's one called Gift. This is oil on board and it's ceramic.
So there's a mixture. So here it is, and he does this in some of his other works too, and he has for a while used both ceramic and sculpture as well as painting. So in this particular one, it's very surrealist, and there's a surrealist element to his other works too. And, you know, you kind of think of Miro and others like that. But in this particular one, it's like this sort of bird-like creature, but almost look like it's made out of shells. So it's a very strange object. But then just over behind the actual canvas, there are all these white ceramic fingers with kind of humorously gold painted nails on them, which then all of a sudden takes you out of the illusion of the painting, brings you into the actual contemporary space and where you are, and gives a sort of physicality to it all and humorous kind of zombie-like kind of creepiness to it as well.
That's right. It could be a cartoon character, or it could be something quite creepy.
Exactly. And the same with the fingers. So it can be sort of so much more to do with the viewer and how they experience it than maybe even the intention of the artist.
So that's Damien Flood at the Green on Red Gallery. And then you went up to the Phoenix Park. Quay Dawn is the exhibition, and it's a joint Irish-Japanese exhibition. And Lafcadio Hearn was, of course, the great writer who went to live in Japan and wrote, amongst other things, ghost stories.
Yes. So it's a fascinating mixture of bringing together these two cultures. And I think one of the things it's most surprising is how well known Hearn is in Japan, and in fact also in New Orleans, where he spent some time and was interested in Creole history as well. They have a parade for him, I think, every year. But the idea of bringing together these two cultures, where he's so well known as the Irish figure and a sort of translator of Japanese culture for Western audiences, and now there's this sort of two-way exchange between Japanese artists and Irish artists responding to exactly the same sources, but obviously coming to it from different points of view. And there's a whole range of different techniques and materials and stylistic choices as each artist responds to one of his ghost stories from this particular collection.
Yes, so you've picked two Japanese artists. One is Yoko Akino, and has he picked the story Monjina, or?
Yes, so each of them picked a story that then they were going to illustrate to a certain extent. So some take it a little bit more literally and show, you know, very clearly, you know, reference to the story, and then others abstract it or take it away from that. In that particular instance, it is the one with the sort of blank face and like more traditional Japanese ukiyo prints, which were very influential in the 19th century in Europe on impressionists and actually helped form modernism. But the story is a creepy one. So the story that it's based on, the Mujino are like little tricksters, kind of similar to fairies in Irish sort of stories and Irish folklore. And one of this man is walking at night and he sees this woman crying. And, you know, as he goes over to comfort her and he's trying to help her, she turns around and she has this blank face. And when he goes then running away and goes to tell somebody else about it, they have the blank face too. So it's that type of eerie, strange kind of fairy tale that Hearn writes, and these artists then respond to it very differently, because some of the other artists in the show respond to the same story but with very different results.
So Shoku Oshugugi, is that Oshugi, is the dream of Eikanosuke.
Yes. So this is the one that actually caught my eye as I was walking in and immediately made me feel creeped out. It's like the face has been formed by these little ants where the eyebrows, eyes and nose should be. And then over the mouth is a butterfly. And that again relates to one of these stories where someone who falls asleep gets brought off into this imaginary land where they become, you know, married to the king's daughter and live this beautiful life until their wife dies. dies. But then on his way back from this magical land, he wakes up and all of a sudden he's back where he was sleeping, and his friends tell him he wasn't gone that long. And only then does he realise the ants and the ground were actually the universe and the world that he was in. So it's that sort of sense of a kind of feeling of our own uncertainty or place or time, and how much that can be expanded or retracted. So then the artist kind of takes that up by creating a lot of the face and the image out of the insects. In fact, the other half of the book of Caidón as a book is in fact just about insects. And he wrote about ants and butterflies and mosquitoes and things in these weird ways, almost like cataloguing them, but again, closer to kind of bizarre stories.
Is it too creepy, Jess? Or?
No, it's beautiful. And there's so many beautiful images. There's a mixture of beautiful and disturbing. And I don't know that disturbing isn't also, you know, as intriguing or interesting to go and see. As you glance around or look at the catalogue, and the catalogue is beautiful as well, you start to realise just how many different ways artists can approach their own expression. And it can range from the unsettling or uncomfortable to then some of the most exquisite and beautiful and extraordinary skilled and creative works. So I think it's a good mixture that people will find something that they like in it and maybe disagree with whoever they go along with as to what is creepy and what is beautiful.
Jess Fahey, thank you so much. Jess has been at Damien Flood's solo exhibition, So Above, So Below, which runs at the Green on Red Gallery until March the 28th, and Caidón, Encounters with Lafcadio O'Hearn, an exhibition that is supported by the Office of Public Works and the Department of Foreign Affairs, and is at Farmley Gallery in Dublin until August the 24th. Jess, thank you so much. That's it for tonight's show. Liam Murphy and Paula Shields were the researcher. Jamie Doyle was on sound. Mary Elizabeth Bruton was the broadcast coordinator. And tonight's show was produced by Reg Luby. John Creedon is next after the news.